Hi, this is Dave Dufour, and this is Theater Geeks. Now, in case you're wondering where John and Marsha are, well, they were with me. I was with them. We were all together at the Indiana Community Theater League conference and festival competition, the Excerpt Festival, in Kokomo, Indiana, this past weekend, March 25th, 26th, and 27th, 2011, where we recorded a couple, three interviews and also captured what is coming up next, which is the Adjudicators Conference, or the Adjudicators Forum, rather, in which the adjudicators for the conference and for the festival, Ron Cameron Lewis and Keith Martin, gave us their impressions. Answered some questions, and there's some good stuff in here for any community theater. So we thought we would share this with you, with their permission, and give you. And if you've never participated if your theater has never gone to one of these festivals or competed, this may give you a little bit of insight into at least some of the process. So we have a number of things that we're going to be releasing. We're going to be actually releasing Theater Geeks on a little faster schedule, so that some of the material from the conference doesn't get stale, and so it's relatively current. So we're going to release this episode now, which is actually about a day or so past our normal date, but then there will be another episode with more from the ICTL conference and festival within another week or 10 days. So you're going to have probably a more frequent dose of Theater Geeks over the next couple, 3 weeks. So so watch for that. And now here's the Adjudicators Forum with Ron Cameron Lewis and Keith Martin.
Good morning. Did you all survive the night? Yes. I worry about the collective livers in the state of Indiana. I want to first tell you that today is World Theater Day. And ACT, the American Association of Community Theater, if you go to their website or if you're a Facebook fan, is asking us all to remember the community theaters in Japan who are dealing with a double whammy, as I'm sure you're aware, but I thought that would be a good way to start this off. Other thing I just want to say, I know you're sick of hearing from us, but I'm from North Carolina and I live in Virginia, and we kind of invented Southern hospitality. But I have to tell you, after spending this weekend in Indiana, you've pretty much perfected it. We may have invented it, but I just cannot tell you how welcome you have made me, and I'm sure us, feel. And this is my first time. I've changed planes in Indianapolis, and that's the closest I've been to setting foot in Indiana. I do think it was welcome to Indiana. I was going from Cincinnati to Oxford, Ohio, and somehow ended up in Indiana. So somewhere they kind of like connect or something, and I was going in a straight line, but that's the only time I've been here. But you have made us feel so very, very welcome. And then my only other opening remark is that I don't think I've ever been to a state festival where the quality has been this consistently high. You made our choices very, very difficult. And I don't know if you've been here, but we finished in record time, at least that's what we're supposed to tell you. And then we spent, an hour or so trying to figure out how to get out of the building because none of us had a car. They locked up the theater and left. You go outside, see if there are cars in the parking lot, and turn around and the doors are locked behind you. So if we were late joining the party, it's not because we were fighting, arguing, or debating.
And everybody we tried to telephone didn't pick up because the music was too loud. When they realized that we'd been trying to call them, there were about 17 people who went, oh my God.
Why are they calling me?
They figured it out. I would like to add my appreciation to all of you here in Indiana. I'm not a newbie, as you can see. I love coming down to Indiana. I joke about the fact I have friends I know better here than I know back in Ontario. And it's true, because that hospitality and the relationships have been established over many years now. But I agree. The quality of theater I see here is wonderful. It's very different kind of festival than the festivals we have in Canada, so it's already interesting in that regard. But the variety of shows you put on and the material you delve into is fresh for me. was only one show in this festival that I'd seen before on stage. And there was another version of a show I had seen. But everything else was brand new.
I'm the opposite. There's only one show I had not seen. And that was the current the Green Gables musical version. I'd seen earlier treatments, but I had never seen that one. So I guess this is your chance to ask questions for us. I have some comments and suggestions for future festivals, but we can save that for the end. This is your chance to just give us your best shot. Keep in mind that we're going to be sitting near an exit with our back to a wall. And we'll be a hasty retreat as soon as this is over. Questions, comments? You and then you. Ladies first. Remember Southern hospitality.
This was our first year. Very, very exciting.
You have to identify yourself in your theater.
Sure, Laura with Laurel Arts. So it was so exciting to see, as you said, the amount of talent in the area and to meet such wonderful people. I imagine your jobs are difficult, and I don't know how, with having such a range of types of productions, you know, how do you make decisions between things like, say, a play versus a musical?
Well, I yield, first of all, to the master.
When you read the script, you come up with what you believe to be the writer's vision. And you look at that production with an attempt to see how fully the production realized the writer's vision. And so the vision of a musical, and it usually involves more people creating it versus a play, two totally different things. So to me, if you come 87% of the way with a play and 74% of the way to the vision with the musical, it becomes very clear. Sometimes, on occasions, I have adjudicated a play where the company is so far strayed from the vision of the playwright that it's painful to watch. And you have to call people on that. It was all very clever, it was all very funny, but it's not what the playwright wrote. And those are the adjudications where I fear for my life. And I showed up at one theater in a part of a traveling festival that goes over many months back home, and I was greeted by my host at the theater door saying, "Well, they're hoping there won't be blood on the wall tonight."
I agree with my colleague. For me, the play is the thing. But if you go back to the poetics, the only thing you need for theater to exist is one actor and one audience member. So, ACT does an incredible job in terms of giving us guidelines for adjudication and also the criteria for consideration. So after a festival is over, the first thing I do is sit and read this anew, because it really does talk about all the criteria that we've mentioned, but it's the best overall productions, but the major elements are the acting and the directing. In your festival situation, you're away from your home theater, we have to understand that they can't light that downstage apron. You know, I may still comment, it'd be nice for you to come a little closer to the audience, but, you know, it is what it is. And they also says that musicals should be considered to the same standards as other dramatic material. But ACT's got it all for you right here, and it's just we have to kind of make sure that we do a little process check before we sit down and do our deliberations to make sure that the map still fits the trail. Or trail still fits the map, however that expression is. You, sir.
Yes. In do you find that theaters sometimes... I'm Ted from Cookville Civic. Do you find that festival participants, do they overreach? Do they try to do something that they're not qualified for? Or... conversely, would you rather see an excellent, simple show, or would you like to see something more difficult, not done quite so perfectly?
You're crossing now over into the territory of personal opinion. So this is not the act or the guideline. But Samuel Beckett has a quote that goes, "Try, fail. Try again, fail bigger." Samuel Beckett. And I just think that I always like to see somebody bite off something that's probably a little bit more than they can chew if they're in their safe comfort zone. And I know we're going to go see a production of the Fantastics this afternoon, but I always love to use that as an example. If you're doing Fantastics for a festival, as wonderful a gem as that show is, then I think I've seen it more than any other production in the history of American theater. I'm not sure there's not anything else new that we probably haven't already seen. The other thing that I applaud is when a theater company chooses an original play or commissions a new work for a festival. Because I think we community theaters are uniquely qualified to help reforest the American theater by planting a few new trees rather than harvesting the same old chestnuts. And what better forest to plant? And by the way, they gave me seeds and things in my little welcome kit, so you know, this analogy kind of worked, than a festival. Especially when you can help serve the playwright. I met a playwright this weekend, and she's also a good publicist. You know, Ruth Tyndall Baker, I now have a synopsis of all of her plays, her website, and she's sending me scripts. You know, she's got some marketing chops. How cool would it be to take an Indiana playwright, or in an off-festival year, when you don't go to Region 3 or go to National Act Fest, that you pinky swear to all do new work? And see what that looks like in the state of Indianapolis. Indiana? Where are we? Just a comment. You, sir.
I agree. I think the issue of generating the new generation of writers, starting the new generation of writers, is a really important one. And back in Canada, I'm part of a group of seven people who just formed an organization called Theatre Starts Incorporated. And basically, we're doing a competition, a script writing competition, where we'll get, I would assume, between 50 and 80 scripts per year. We're going to choose six of those, and we're going to work with them in dramaturgically to develop them and lead to a weekend of staged readings of two scripts at 3 points per year, choosing the scripts that are most ready. And we applied for and got a Trillium grant to do this. And so it's building on a program we had operating for 4 years. But in a somewhat different version, because the staged readings are so much easier to do than trying to mount a production. And it's a much more sensible first step to help writers. Writers work in isolation. And I know myself, I've written a dozen shows, and you write something you think is going to be wonderful, and then you hear it spoken, and it's just like... back to the computer. So there's a lot of process of back and forth and experimentation that can happen at a staged reading, leading to a staged reading. And that gives a writer a chance to see how the work goes over to an audience. And the question and answer period with the audience helps the writer go back and do rewrites. Then it can be taken forward to be mounted as a production. So that's something we're doing back in Ontario to try and generate the new crop of writers. Because I have not encountered the Fantastics a lot, but I could rattle off about 20 shows. If I never see again, I can live with that.
I can live.
When I first started adjudicating 40 years ago, there were plays, I simply called them pot boilers, because you saw them all the time. And now, at the high school festival in particular, we have a festival called the Sears Ontario Drama Festival. It's coming up for its 60th anniversary. It's the largest high school theater festival in the world. Hundreds of plays involved. And when I first started adjudicating there, there were no original scripts. And now fully one-third of the plays are original pieces. The program I teach, the joint program at the University of Toronto and Sheridan Institute, we encourage writing and creativity leading to script writing all the way through the 4 years of the program, And one of my former students who graduated about 10 years ago was nominated for a Governor General's Literary Award in drama this year, which is the highest honor in Canada. In the community theater festivals in which I'm working, I think 30 years ago, 35 years ago, the average person in a community theater could name maybe one Canadian playwright. And I would say now we're up to about 25% of the productions are established Canadian writers. So it's happening in over a longer period of time, but it's happening. And I think one of the things community theater can do is to help those new writers.
Did we answer your question? Do you feel like yours was answered? I just always have to do a process.
Yeah. Okay.
Any others? This is really kind, gentle session than I expected. Well, I have a suggestion that you might consider, and John Kirchhoff can help me put this in context of a larger ACT Fest. In the Southeast region, I'm in Region 4, Southeastern Theater Conference, we do panel adjudication. This room, you know, I can't hear his comments if he goes first. He can't hear my comments if I go first. We can only hear each other after we've finished our adjudication of a specific production. But with panel adjudication, you all have the stage at the same time. And you start with an opening reflection, your initial impressions of the play. Bang, 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 all three adjudicators. Then you come back with concrete, constructive, positive affirmation, comments, suggestions, how to improve, alternatives, etc. And then you each have a closing comment. You know, a final thought, a lasting impression, whatever you want to say. The thing about it is that instead of having us say the same note every single time, that umbrella didn't look period, I'm sure we both missed that, we see it once and the other two just nod. You say something, we go, I disagree. And it's the give and take to say, you know, I disagree, he's wrong. What I really should have said, but you know.
And yeah, and the favorite part of the adjudication process for me is after the festival's over and we have to sit down and make some decisions about who's going forward and nominations for awards, we got into some really interesting dialogue. And nobody gets to hear that except...
It's just like, you know, we're supposed to be sitting down with the two shows that are advancing on to Region 3 after this awards, breakfast, brunch, Bloody Marys are over with. And we then realize that of the shows, I didn't get to hear his adjudication, he didn't get to hear mine. We talked about, well, we'll meet with Theater A while you meet with Theater B, and then we'll switch. And we said, no, we're going to do that because I didn't hear what he said about a couple of the shows, and he didn't hear what I said about a couple of shows. It would be better if we did it together. But you might experiment in an off-year and then vote. If you like panel adjudication, maybe work it into your normal festival cycle. But it's just, I bring it to you as something you might want to discuss and consider and shake things up a bit.
And I also think it's good for you to hear that we have standards of excellence we hope that productions achieve, but we might disagree on just how successful a production was. So I think it's interesting for you to hear that although we ended up with total agreement about everything, but to see the process of how it happens.
The only thing we disagreed on is how we were going to get to the party last night. We have to be truthful. Integrity. The other thing you might consider is something called peer feedback. If you could identify somebody in your theater who you feel is unimpeachable, maybe not the person who directed your entry, but someone else in your theater, and offer them up to do written comments of the other theaters that are participating in the festival. I think peer review, one, it has to be respectful, it has to be constructive, you have to kind of check your ego at the door, and give feedback. I think you can learn a lot from that process. And you're going to be able to say things if you use that process like, you know, you've done this same old stuff every festival. I like to see you kind of break out of the box. Those are the kind of thing that people who have an arc of a, you know, long view can comment upon that we don't. I mean, this weekend to me has been like a drive-by shooting. I'm gone. I don't have one. Good thing you're driving. You wouldn't make it through the metal detector. But that's another thing you just might want to consider as you shake things up. And I want to kind of yield to Mr. Kirchhoff to see if he has any suggestions, because he goes to more festivals than everybody in this room combined, because he's been the festival chair nationally, and he's here this weekend as the ACT rep to make sure we behave and, you know, don't skew the results or
I'm going to kick off from your remarks about original work, which I very, very, very much agree with. And one of the flaws in the awakening for original works is that for some reason companies will pick up a nice script, but it's not fully developed. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. And then they will not spend as much effort casting it and won't rehearse it as much and not perform it in front of an audience an adequate amount. And then are surprised at the results, and some people say, well, you can't do an original work, when really their process of doing it is flawed. In a like sense, panel adjudication is new to ACT. This is the third cycle that we have allowed people to use it. We will not be using it anytime soon for the National Festival. And it too can be flawed. If you have adjudicators at the level of these two gentlemen, and Keith's hat band is already adequate to his head, the other gentleman I don't know as well, but we'll assume he has a hat band as well. What you're looking at and what you've been hearing are two of the top six or eight or nine adjudicators, I was going to say in the nation, I guess in North America more accurately. And they could stand on their heads and do adequate or superlative adjudication. So the format really doesn't much matter. I've seen panel adjudication, I'm sorry, Keith, that was frighteningly difficult for the audience because the adjudicators were not adequate to the task. Where when you're using two here, or more typically three, and there's nothing wrong with two, by the way, adjudicators, and they are presenting separately, if you've got one inexperienced or maybe just flat-out dreadful adjudicator, you get by that, and then you hear something better.
I hate to acknowledge that he's right, but do you remember the old 60 Minutes point counterpoint, I'll be Jack, you can be Shana? The Southeastern Theater Conference, we had 15 theaters, 13, I can't remember. We asked each of them which format they preferred. All of them said panel. All of them said panel over individual adjudication. So the theaters like it. It just means that you have to work harder in your selection process for adjudicators. But you have to understand, I'm here because I lost a bar bet to Ross Rowland. Whatever city, any man has a long memory. Terrible sense of direction, but long memory. I'm going to get frequent Meyer miles just since I've been on the ground in Indiana. It's an adventure, Ross, an adventure.
Can I take the conversation in a slightly different direction? In order to help you prepare productions for festival another year, back home, we have a role called play polisher or production consultant. And that's exactly what I was doing on Thursday night till 10 o'clock before I got in the car to come here. There's a group in Oakville, Burl Oak Theater Group, who have brought me in every couple of years or so to be a play polisher on a show of theirs. And it's what I do is I go in and I watch a run of an act and I make notes. And then based on that, I pull parts of the scene and I tweak it. I take maybe a couple of pages and I reblock it. I work with the dynamics. I work with the character contrast, the emotional arc of the scene, and all those kinds of things. Jump ahead to the next thing. I don't try to do the whole act, but just, you know, really tighten up parts of it. And then a couple of days come back and do act two. And it doesn't cost the group an enormous amount of money. They know me because they've worked with me for 25 years. They hired me two or three times to direct, as a guest director, to do a full production. And I always train an apprentice director when I'm doing that, so they get bang for the buck. But the play polishing is a relatively inexpensive budget line component for them. And they trust me because they've known me for so many years, but they want somebody from the educational theater system who understands how to teach as well as how to direct and can come up with the exercises that are appropriate for that actor or that group of actors. You heard me talk a lot about vocal drop-off and stuff. I teach a lot of voice, and I can tell you that my cast of 51 cats last month, well, so many of them were so young I just called them kittens. But you could hear, I could have them at the end of that room, and they could be saying, "The naming of cats is a difficult matter. It isn't just one of your holiday games. You may think at first that I'm as mad as a hatter when I tell you a cat must have three different names." These 10-year-old kids could whip out those consonants and get those lines across, because T.S. Eliot's writing is pretty obscure to begin with. So the audience needed to hear everything clearly. And so I just go in sometimes and I spend an evening doing vocal drills and get them to apply it to the text. So if you've got outside resource people that you know in your community that you can bring in at different stages, it's worth considering. When I'm play polishing, if it's a new director, fairly new director, I always like to go in and do one session early on. I look at the floor plan of the furniture, and sometimes just by rearranging the position of the furniture, I explain how it's going to clear up stage area for blocking. You know, trying to do a farce with something blocking a door is ridiculous, because you have to make fast, clean, immediate entrances and exits. So I go in and do that, and maybe do just a series of exercises with the cast on the style of acting that they need for that particular show. And then I disappear and come back, and later on, a couple of weeks before the show opens, I do the hands-on play polishing I described earlier. So it doesn't cost very much, and it gives the company a breath of fresh air. It helps the director deal with the fact I can't see the forest because of the trees. I'm overwhelmed with too much stuff happening. And it just gives that fresh kick. And it might help your chances at a festival to have outside people coming in to just give you some fresh thought.
Did you think of any questions while we're running our mouth?
This is not a question, but I just want to make sure that the people in this room know that there are at least two or three trained adjudicators in Indiana who are willing to come to your theater for free and give you an objective view of what is happening and help you. We haven't done much with advertising this fact over the years. We had more adjudicators at one time, but I think there's probably only about two of us left. But and you need to go take his adjudication workshop at Nashville and learn how to be an adjudicator, which it helps you as a director and or actor and whatever. So I'll shut up.
Questions, comments? Yes, sir. Tell us your theater.
Premier Arts, which is Anna Green Gables.
Got it.
My name is Aaron. I was really anxious to see two of the same production. I know some people see that and they're like, oh, two of the same things. But I'm thrilled because I love to see different treatments of the same script. I think one of the hardest things, well, I imagine, would be not considering cutting, not considering the edit of a full script when you see two radically different treatments of the same script. It was really fascinating to see what one group cut, what one group left, different technical solutions to problems. Can you speak to the challenge of dealing with the cuts of script? I know in Canada you said they don't do that.
The worst was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, for Act Fest in like 2003, something like, there were three productions at the national level of Driving Miss Daisy. And because it's done as a blind draw by region, two of them were back to back.
Oh.
And then we skipped a play, and then we had the third one. And there are some states that in alternate years, The adjudicators are determined in advance, and they send out a script for each theater to produce. And they come to the festival, and you'll see 8 or 9 or 10 productions of The Good Doctor. And then you get to see concept, directorial approach, all of those things. And that's kind of fun. It's a little bleary after a while. But it really is a learning opportunity in the field.
Well, I often encounter duplication in festivals back in Canada. I once saw, I had to adjudicate 3 productions of Crimes of the Heart. And you know there are 3 sisters in this story. And in the first show, one of them was wonderful, nailed the character, the other two. Second production, another role was beautifully developed, but the other two didn't match up. And in the third one, it was the third role. And I was so frustrated by that I got the college to put it on the season for our dinner theater the next year, and I directed it, so I could have a production where all 3 sisters were realized. It's the cutting, though, is an issue that, for me, I never, as an adjudicator, it's not my job to comment on the play, but it's a real treat to see totally different interpretations of a play through cutting. And so that's one of the little bonuses for me coming down here, is to see how you can take, first time I ever saw a musical cut, because that's unheard of back home, was A Little Night Music turned to 1 hour. Woo! And so I thought, my goodness, it actually worked really well. But I remember adjudicating a production where they took just the trial scene from Caine Mutiny, and it stood on its own. Wow. And so the innovation in how you come up with your, how do we take this material and fill an hour, is quite wonderful.
Great question. Anyone else? Comments? Ross, should we throw out our idea to them, or wait and go to the board first?
We need to go to the board.
Okay.
So why don't you go ahead?
We have, some of our most inspirational ideas are done with alcohol present.
Adjudicators never drink.
Adjudicators need to drink. So at 3:10 last night, as we were leaving Ross's suite, I've been in conversations with, I think, most of the theaters here, not all of them. And by the way, thank you for approaching us. I mean, it's okay, we don't bite. We can't talk about the festival or the shows, but I mean, I love engaging with you. That's part of the reason I do these, is to get to meet new people, you know, who serve this wonderful art form of theater. But in conversations with most of the theaters here this week, I've discovered that all are struggling with the current double-dip recession. Only one I could find that finished the fiscal year in the black. All of you are experiencing a decline in revenue and lack of resources. So Ross, who's been to my workshop, and I know you've been to a few of my workshops, and there may be some others, we were going to propose to the board a day-long gathering of theaters for a group therapy session, sort of like Alcoholics Anonymous for theater companies. And I would be happy to facilitate the session on a cost recovery basis, and I would propose that we cover a scan of the national scene, because I'm one of the people who writes Theater Facts, which is an American theater once a year, and Zani Voss, Jero Voss, et cetera, she and her husband Glenn, but we're one of the control theaters, which means every year we've filled it out so we can be a baseline group for comparisons on the long arc. That's been my participation. But we'd start with a scan of the national theater scene so we can put your struggles in perspective with the field at large. Second thing is we would share best practice methods of what other arts organizations, specifically theaters, are doing to weather the downturn in the economy. Third, we discuss alternative fundraising methods and a few tricks of the trade, such as in-kind contributions, which is something I'm shameless at doing. You know, I should come from the theater world, which means I have no shame, and I'm Episcopalian, which means I don't do guilt. It's a perfect mix to go out there and solicit in-kind contributions. Then we thought we might explore the creation of collaborations and co-productions between the theaters here in Indiana as a way of increasing quality while saving money. And then finally, we thought we might unite the field and try to promote cooperation, since when you come together for a festival, there's such a competitive atmosphere. Now, we won't sing Kumbaya or anything like that, but something that would try to build esprit de corps. The date, time, and place are up to you. My only request is that I'd love to be here with a little warmer weather and not during March Madness when all my teams are playing. I could not answer my phone, but the text messages with score updates were about to make my pocket explode. But anyway, just I don't know, show, would that interest you? Or is it just something that we don't want to impose anything if you don't feel there's a need for it? But if you would like to do that, I would be happy to come back up here. I have relatives in Oxford, Ohio, which is only like a couple hundred miles away, I guess. I don't even, it can't be very far. Yes?
That's where I work.
Say it again.
That's where I work.
Really?
Miami University, heck yeah.
My sister said.
We need to talk.
I have 14 relatives in Oxford, Ohio. I'm sorry.
2 hours, 45 minutes.
From here.
So what do you think, Joan?
Is that something that you could propose for the Region 3 festival coming up? And do that kind of a workshop?
You know, the thing about that is it's the same amount of work for my part if it's five people around this table or 500 people at a festival. The thing is, you need concentrated time to drill down deep. It can't be one of those 50-minute sessions and you're writing your hand off. Although I bring, we kill a lot of trees in my sessions, and we leave you with lots of handouts. So you can just add water and stir when you get back.
It's a wonderful idea, and you know, just to continue to plant that seed and have that grow, maybe an article in Spotlight.
Somebody's got to do the secret garden. We have just killed all the cultivation. So, show of hands. Interested? Yes. Not interested? Ready for a Bloody Mary? Any closing comments, my friend?
It was just going through the back of my mind that the resources at Theatre Ontario on their webpage might be of interest to some of you. We have a pretty extensive variety of programs that we operate for community theatres in Ontario, and I was just thinking to myself as I looked around the room, I was thinking of some plays that would go over well, done by some Canadian playwrights. Look a little further afield if you like, towards some Canadian writers, because we have a really interesting new generation of marketable commercial plays.
Last thing we want to do is applaud Kokomo for being such a wonderful host.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.